Jitsa Rebbe. Happens to be his Torah on Hanukkah is pretty hard and pretty long and doesn't have so much to do with Hanukkah. But then I was looking and I saw that it was Rabbi Yisrael of Chortkov's Yartzeit, the second Rebbe of Chortkov, the second Chortkov Rebbe. Chortkov comes from Rizhin. He was named for his grandfather, Yisrael Rizhiner. The Heilig Rizhiner had six sons. And my six sons correspond to the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. My fifth son was David Moshe of Chortkov. And he corresponds to Kodshim. And David Moshe of Chortkov had a son, Rav Yisrael, who became the second Chortkov Rebbe, whose Yartzeit is today, Yud Gimel Kislev. He passed away in the year 1933. And we have a tiny little sefer. I mean, we have a couple of things from him, but one of is this thin little volume that I have here in front of me called Nezer Yisrael, Ala Torah Moadim. And he has two Chanukah Mamar, so I thought we'd do the first one. It's a short and sweet Torah, but I think it's very important. And I hope to be maybe ma'arech on this Indian a little bit this week with another piece of Torah we'll learn Mirtz Hashem later this week for Chanukah. Okay, so let's see. He starts with the Gemara in Shabbos, the well-known Gemara. Beshamai Omrim Yon Rishon Madlik Shmona Mikan Ve'elech Poiches V'Hoilech. Beshamai is of the opinion that on the first night of Chanukah, we light eight candles. And then the second night, seven, six, five, four, three, two, one. Beis Hillel, of course, as we're all familiar with, what we do. Beis Hillel Omrim Yon Rishon Madlik Achas Mikan Ve'elech Moisif V'Hoilech. Right? Beis Hillel, of course, says you start with one, and then each night you increase the light. And then the Gemara discusses why do they have those opinions? Taima de Beis Shammai, can I get Pare HaChag? The reason for Beis Shammai is just like on Sukkos, when we're bringing 70 Parim, we're bringing these 70 offerings corresponding to the 70 nations of the world, and each day of Sukkos we bring less, we start with a lot, and then we bring less and less and less. So too on Chanukah, we start with a lot, and then we dwindle our way down. And Beis Hillel gives a more understandable explanation. The time of the Beis Hillel, the Milan Bekodesh Vein Moridin. Because we always look to go up in holiness, we don't go down. So says Rabbi Yisrael Chortkover, who say again Aleinu, L'chora, ma shaya Chanukah l'pari achag? What does Chanukah have anything to do with the dwindling offerings over the course of Sukkos? Right? That's why I have to pay attention. When you say Musaf on Sukkos, you got to figure out what day it is, because the pari achag are constantly changing over the course of Sukkos. Until you come to the end of Sukkos, you come to that moment of Shmini Atzeres when it's just us and Hashem, Par Echad, we bring that single par, right? But what do the Par Echag have to do with anything? Now we know, however, that there are a lot of connections between Sukkos and Chanukah. Chanukah is 8 days, Sukkos, in a sense, is also 8 days. Chanukah is very much connected to Yosef HaTzadik. Sukkos is very much connected to Yaakov Avinu, like the Torah tells us. Avram is Pesach, Yitzchak is Shavuos, Yaakov is Sukkos. And we know Eila told us Yaakov, Yosef, right? That Yaakov and Yosef have a very strong bond to each other. Actually, the Sfasemis says that Yaakov is the letter Yud and Yosef is the letter Vav. So you already have the Yud and the Vav corresponding to the Yud Vav of Yavan. But clearly, there's a strong connection between the 8 days of Sukkos and the 8 days of Chanukah. But still, nonetheless, what is it? What are the Pari HaChag? What do the dwindling offerings of Sukkos have to do with anything? So says the Chortkov Rebbe, I'll tell you Pasha. You have to ask yourself on Chanukah, what am I celebrating? And there's one of two options. Ulam nira li, hine b'chanukah hayanes b'beiz ofanim. We know that on Chanukah, there were two aspects of victory. There are two things to celebrate. So I know what you're thinking. You're thinking what? The miracle of the victory, the military victory, and the oil. No, he's going to say differently. There's two ways to celebrate the military victory. Ha'echad shenitzchu oyveihem v'ichniu haklipa. You could say we were oppressed, we were under attack, and we fought off the enemy, we drove away the enemy, we defeated the enemy, and we subdued the klipa, we humbled our enemies. V'hasheni. But the question you could ask yourself is, what comes next? So I got the enemy out of the way. No, so now what? So I'm back to what? So I'm back to status quo. Vasheni hayotze meza. What emerges from now that the enemy is no longer pursuing me? So what opportunity do I have now? Shirchivu hakedusha v'hotzio hanitzotzos v'hu ikar hatachlis. It's not just about getting the bad guy off my back. getting the negativity out of the way. But it's about now that I have the Harchavas Hadas, now that I have the space, now that I'm back to a blank canvas, right? I cleaned up the mess, so now what do I want to paint? What do I want to do with it? Ubiru shnei ha'ofanim nuchalomar. So you could say, you have to ask yourself, so which is the ikar? What should I celebrate? Should I celebrate the beginning of the miracle, namely, the fact that I subdued the negativity, I defeated the enemy? Because until I defeat the bad guys, until I get the negativity out of the way, so I don't have room to try to grow, I don't have room to try to laharchiv hakadusha, to expand holiness. So one way to say it is, yeah, I should celebrate the downfall of the enemies. That's the starting point that allows me to then experience Kedusha. V'gam nuchal lomar, but you could also say in the other direction, d'nezel achar ha'ikar v'hatachlis v'hi harchavas ha'kedusha. Or, of course, you could focus on the goal, right? You could focus on the thing that allowed the goal to emerge, namely the victory over the enemies, the subduing of the enemy. You could celebrate that. Or you could celebrate sort of the end game, which is what? The tachlis. Namely, the harchavas hakadusha that emerged after the enemy was defeated. So now, chevra, the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, everyone agrees what the tachlis is. The tachlis is to be able to celebrate the expansion of kedusha, right? To be able to celebrate the increase of holiness. The question is, but do I focus on the fact that that came about because we were able to suppress the enemy? Or do I focus on the Harchavas HaKadusha, the most of the Holich of Beis Hillel? Hine yadua ki ayin pare hachag. What do these 70, pare hachag, these 70 offerings that we bring over the course of Sukkot, what do they represent? Shayu pochzim v'holchim. Like I said, each day of Sukkot we're bringing less and less. Hayu neged ayin umos. The Gemara tells us it corresponds to the 70 nations of the world. And the idea is that as we offer these karbanos, and each day we bring a little bit less, we're in a sense, what are we doing? We're showing the diminishing value, the diminishing strength of our enemies, of the 70 nations of the world. V'zeye shloma b'kavanas ha'plugta. So this is the machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. De Beis Shammai sovrim de'ikr haskaras neis chanukah. And Chava, I know we want to run into the world of Beis Hillel, and that's how we paskin. We light 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. But just think about it for a second. Try to connect to Beis Shammai for a second. Right? Beis Shammai says that the main celebration, the main thing you want to remember is namely what? Is that we were able to subdue the enemy. Because sometimes we forget that that's even possible. Sometimes we don't realize. Sometimes the enemy seems so strong. The Yetzirah seems so strong. So you think, okay, well, I'm not going to defeat the Yetzirah, but I can increase my light. I can increase my mitzvos. So I'll do Averos, and I'll also do more mitzvos. So Beis Shammai says, well, pause for a second. It's possible to actually defeat the enemy. A small but courageous army was able to what? To take down such an enemy. To lachnia ha-klipa. To subdue, to humble the klipa. That's a big deal. V'lachein savri depoches v'holech kapare achag. So Beis Shammai says, you got to realize that. You have to celebrate that. You have to celebrate. Start with 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Shemaram zemal inyan zeh, which hints to this idea, the diminishing strength of our enemies. Beis Hillel says, as amazing as that is, as remarkable as that is, and as much as we need to realize that it's possible to crush the enemy, that's not the tachlis. Chever, the tachlis of your life is not to spend your whole life trying to get away from the Yetzirah. And the reality is, for most of us, we're never going to completely obliterate the Yetzirah. We're not going to be able to destroy the Yetzirah completely. That's probably the metzias for all of us. So Beis Hillel says, let's focus on what comes next. Let's talk about the real goal. The goal, again, is not just to get the enemies away from us and to then kind of get back to neutrality. Neutrality is not the end of the game. That's not the name of the game. That's not the goal. Beis Hillel Savri de Iker Haskaras Hanes Hu Lizkor Sherechivu HaKadusha. Beis Hillel says, it's true. You can't expand the holiness until you first defeat the enemies. But the goal is to be able to celebrate the Harchavas HaKadusha. V'lachain says Beis Hillel Mosef HaHolich. Nasnu Simulezed Demalin BeKodesh. to constantly be in a state of what? Of increasing the light, of increasing one's holiness in one's life. It's true that without that starting point, you can never get to that tachlis. That's what Beis Shammai says. Appreciate the crushing of the enemies. You can't do anything until you do that. Beis Hillel says, but I don't want to focus on that because that's not the goal. The goal is not to play defense. The goal is to be able to go on offense and to be able to what? To be able to expand the holiness, to keep spreading outward, to keep expanding the kedusha in the world, right? To be able to be to spread the light of a Kodesh Baruch Hu in the world. That's the tachlis. So Chevra, says the Chortkav Rebbe, unfortunately, too many Jews are focused on just playing defense. We spend too much time worrying about just not doing the wrong thing. We're not creative enough. We're not Mosif Aholich enough. And Chanukah, again, turns us outward. It makes us think, how am I going to be Mosif Aholich? Right? We spend a lot of time worrying about, I'm struggling with this, and I'm struggling with that, and I'm falling apart with this, and I'm falling apart with that. That's Beis Shammai. That's not how we paskin. That's not the focus on Chanukah. There's tzaddikim and there's beinonim. And you have to decide, what do you choose to celebrate? Hatzaddikim smechem betachlis. Tzaddikim are always looking towards the tachlis. Tzaddikim are saying, what's the goal? What's the real goal? What's the end game? What's the purpose here? Shenisroma v'nisrachva kedusha. The tzaddik is looking, not how do we not fall apart. How many people spend time worrying about not falling apart? Don't worry about not falling apart. Worry about how am I going to do something big in the world? How am I going to expand the borders of kedusha in the world? The beinonim, unfortunately, the average Jew is smechem b'yeshua. We're just happy to not be attacked by the enemy anymore. I'm just happy that Yavon is no longer beating me up, that I'm no longer oppressed. And that's all I'm asking for. Once I have that, I'm good. Sheishpilu oyveyim. That there was a downfall of the enemies. Shezo ke'ein simcha she'achniyo ha'klipa. Right? The celebration of suppressing or subduing the enemy. That's enough to celebrate. But the tzaddik says that's not the goal. Think about Purim versus Chanukah for a second. Okay? Purim was much more, the Sfarim talk about how Purim was really more of a physical attack. Someone wanted to kill us. Chanukah was more of a spiritual attack. That's why in Purim we celebrate with a suda. On Chanukah, less so. There's less of an emphasis on the physical eating. There's more of a spiritual celebration, the Shemen, which is Meramis to Ruchnius, Meramis to Chochmah, Chochmah Satorah. So think about what happens after Purim. It's very sad. The Gemara says, why don't we say Hallel after Purim? You remember this Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Daled? Why don't we say Hallel on Purim? The Gemara gives three answers. One of the answers the Gemara gives is that because even after we were no longer killed by Haman, which was a great Yeshua, what does the Gemara say? Akati avde achashverosh anan. In the language of the Gemara, we were still the avadim. We were still the avadim of achashverosh. We were still the slaves of achashverosh. So we weren't dead. Shkoyach, we weren't dead. But we also were still living under a foreign ruler. We weren't able to be marchiv, the kedusha. So in a certain sense, we're not ready for Hallel yet. We're still living under the reign. Right? Again, the terror of Haman was over, but we're still living under the reign of Achashverosh, Achshmo v'Zichro. We weren't fully freed, so it's not yet time for Hallel. So Chevra, you know what that means? That means if that Chanukah is Lahodosu Lahallel, that means Chanukah is not just Oh Baruch Hashem. It wasn't, you know, it could have been worse, and it didn't. You know, we fought back and we got the enemy to leave us alone. It must be that if Chanukah, the essence of Chanukah is Hallel, it must be that Chanukah is about the Tachlis. Chanukah is about that final goal. That's why Chanukah is so filled with all the Mashiach Torahs. Right? All of the futuristic Torahs. Chanukah is a chinuch, like the Bnei Yisachar says, for Bayis Shlishi, it's a chinuch for Mashiach. Because we have to have the eyes of tzaddikim to look towards the future on Chanukah. It's not enough that the enemies didn't harm us. We were able to restore the Bayis. We didn't restore the basic. We didn't just rededicate the base of Mikdash. The second half of Bayis Sheni was much more alluded, was much more of a harchavas hakedusha than the first half of Bayis Sheni. In Shitas Beis Shammai and Shitas Beis Hillel. Now maybe you'll ask, and I'm not sure what the answer is, that usually Beis Hillel is more Olam Hazedek, and Beis Shammai is more futuristic. So you would think that Beis Shammai maybe would be the one who has an eye towards what? Towards the expansion of Kedusha of the future. So I have to think about that question a little bit more. But says the Chort of Rabbi, there are tzaddikim, there are beinonim. A beinoni says, I'm happy I wasn't killed. The tzaddik says, wow, that Yeshua now becomes a springboard for what? For Hachavas HaKedusha. And that's the pshat in the psukim that David HaMelech says in Kuf Yud Aleph, Zecher Asa Linif La'osav, Chanun V'achum Hashem, Zecher Asa Linif La'osav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a Zecher, a memory for his wonders, Chanun V'achum Hashem, Hashem was gracious and Hashem was merciful. But the next pasuk says, Teref Nasan Li'Reyav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu supplies sustenance to those who fear him, Yizkor La'olam Briso. Says the Chort of Rebbe, Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zoicher Briso V'osen Iflos. When Hashem gives us the opportunity to recall his miracles, so what does it mean to you? What are you remembering? Are you remembering a Yeshua that once was? Or are you using it as a springboard to what? To generate a loftier future. So the difference is, for the Beinoni, for the average person, he says, remember when Hashem saved us from that trouble? But to the Tzaddik, to those who fear Hashem, to those who are God-fearing, teref nasan li'rayav. What does teref mean? Teref means sustenance, food. It's something I'm still eating, I'm still digesting, I'm still living off of. Right? I'm still growing with it. I'm still consuming it. It's not I'm remembering something that once was. But it becomes food for the tzaddikim. It generates that drive to keep going weiter, to go forward. It's teref, it's mazon, shal yideza marchivim ha-kedusha. Ach koach maisav hikid la'amo. But to the Am, to the Beinonim, Koach Maisav, you know what Hashem's strength was? You know what Hashem accomplished with that Yeshua? Shenitin lehem nachlas gayim. That Hashem just gave us back the territory that the Goyim were trying to conquer. We got the land back, right? The Goyim were encroaching on our Beis HaMikdash. We chased away Yavan, we put them away. We got our land back. Leave us alone. The Tzaddik says, no. Teref nasan li'reyav. The Tzaddik says, no, I have to keep chewing it up. I have to keep consuming it. I have to keep ingesting it. I have to process this miracle and build upon it and not just be satisfied that Hashem got the enemy off of my back. And with this, we can understand the Medrash, the Yalkut Shemoni on Parshas Miketz. Usually, Shabbos Chanukah is Parshas Miketz. Once in a while, it falls out Parshas Vayeshev only, which is very interesting, like it does this year. Ketz sam lachoshech, the pasuk says in Iov, Ketz sam lachoshech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has established a ketz, an end time, an end, has been established, sam has been placed for the darkness. Ulechol tachlis hu choker. And he's choker, he investigates the tachlis. Hashem sets a time for the darkness, and Hashem investigates and understands the purpose of it all. Tachlis. That's what we're talking about today. Says the Medrash, Zman nasan la'olam, kam ishanim yaseh ba'afela. The Medrash is talking about Yosef HaTzadik sitting in a dungeon. Right? That Yosef HaTzadik is sitting in a dungeon, and he's waiting to be saved for a crime he never committed, and eventually he comes out of the dungeon, and he becomes this very chashuv, dignitary in Mitzrayim. He becomes a great leader, and he helps power, and he interprets his dreams, etc. So you should know, it's always very precise. The Yeshua is timed very precisely. Ketz sam lechoshech, ulechol tachlis hu choker. Hashem sets a limit to the darkness, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is choker. He investigates the end, the tachlis of everything. Hashem sets a time, how long a person's going to go through the dark periods of their life. Matam, what's the source? What's the reason, but what's the source? Ketz sam lechoshech. Right? Hashem sets a time for the choshech, for the darkness. Kol zman sheyetzahara ba'olam, as long as the yetzahara is still hanging around, ofel v'tzal maves va'olam. The world is filled with darkness, with a gloomy darkness, a threatening darkness. Nekar yetzahara min ha'olam, but as soon as you remove the yetzahara, which is the embodiment of that choshech, ora v'simcha ba'olam. So says the Chort of Rebbe, and here's where he really hammers home his point. Yesh lahavin a medrash. It's a nice medrash. It's a beautiful pshat. It's a big chizik for us. When you feel that you're stuck, you should know everything is precisely timed. Ketzam lechoshech. But I don't understand what it has to do with the end of the pasuk. What does the ulechol tachlis huchoker have to do with anything? Just when the Medrash wants to darshan a pasuk, right? And the Medrash even here says mata. What's the source? Right? Ketzam lechoshech. There's a set time for the darkness. What's the part of the pasuk? The next part ulechol tachlis huchoker. What do these four words have to do with anything? Right? Hashem investigates the purpose. What does that have to do with the point the Medrash is trying to make? The Medrash should say when it's dark, the Yetzer Hara is present. When the Yetzer Hara is removed, the world is filled with light. Yesh lahavin ha-medrash. We need to understand. Gamha dehevi ha-yalkut siyuma dekra. Why does the Medrash quote the end of the pasuk? Ulechol tachles huchoker. What does that teach me? Delechor ein lashum sheiches ledrash. That seemingly has nothing to do with the drasha. Ach yesh lomar in the final paragraph. Dayakosha le-medrash maduak siv kan vayehi. But what was bothering the Medrash was that Parshas Miketz, as Yosef HaTzadik is about to what? As Yosef HaTzadik is about to get out of jail, and Yosef HaTzadik is about to come to power, and Yosef HaTzadik is about to save Mitzrayim. So you wonder, what is the Vayehi? What's the Lashon Tsar? The Gemara tells us in Megillah that Vayehi, even though sometimes it's positive, sometimes negative, Vayehi, like Vayehi Bimei, is usually a Lashon Tsar. So what's Vayehi Miketz? Parshas Miketz, usually Shabbos Chanukah. Vayehi Miketz. What's the Vayehi? Yosef is finally going to be freed from the dungeon for a crime he never committed. What's the Vayehi? That was what was bothering the Medrash. Halo al yedeza ba ha-yeshua li-Yosef ha-tzadik v'rachav al-Yakov avinu al-Lachol ha-shvatim. Yosef ha-tzadik is about to go free. And this is going to be great for Klal Yisrael. At least initially in the moment. So the Medrash answers, it's true. Let's walk it through. Yosef is going to be freed from that dungeon. That's a big victory. That's a great success. And that's the beginning of a long process of Yeshua. What do I mean a long process of Yeshua? Yosef comes to power, right? Eventually the family of Yaakov comes to Mitzrayim. Yosef is going to then do what he does with his brothers. Eventually he brings Yaakov to Mitzrayim. Yosef is Chosh of Mitzrayim. They give them the land of Goshen. Klal Yisrael sets up. Yaakov Avinu eventually dies in Mitzrayim. He's given a Chosh of a burial. He's respected. Slowly things start to unwind. Eventually the Shvatim die. Yosef dies at the age of 110. The Shvatim die out. The Jews become enslaved. 210 years of slavery. Eventually Nisim v'Niflaos in the form of the Makos. Kriyas Yamsov. Kabbalah Satorah. That's the Tachlis. Kabbalah Satorah is the Tachlis. And it all begins with Yosef coming out of the dungeon. But that's not the tachlis. It's a big celebration. It's a big salvation. Yosef coming out of the dungeon is the ischalta de Yeshua. There's a lot to be excited about. But the ikar ha-Yeshua is not then. The ikar ha-Yeshua ha-Yisa ba'e seitzah mi-Mitzrayim. When the Jews finally, somewhere down the road, in Sefer Shemos, come out of Mitzrayim, shotziu kol ha-nitzotzos ha-kidoshos misham. And Hashem says in three places in the Torah, never go back to Mitzrayim, you finish the mission there. And we come from there, for the 49th level of Tumah Mitzrayim, and now we become Ro'oi L'Kabbalas HaTorah, Asher Al Yada Zachu L'Cheiris Mi'Yitzahara. It's at Har Sinai that we truly freed ourselves from the Yitzahara. Because leaving Mitzrayim is just leaving the Yitzahara behind. Seeing the Egyptians dead on the banks of the Yamsuf is leaving the Yitzahara behind. But what do you do now? So you got out of jail. What are you going to do with your life now? And the answer is Kabbalah Satorah. Oh, Kabbalah Satorah, that's the Tachlis. That's the Tachlis. That's a way to truly stay free from the Yetzirah. Barasi Torah, Barasi Yetzirah, Barasi Torah Tavlin. I think Gemara says in Kedushin, I created the Yetzirah, I created the Torah as the antidote. Now we can actually live our lives. That's the Tachlis. So says the Medrash, now we understand the Pasuk. V'sover ha-Medrash. The Medrash holds, like Beis Hillel, Da'ikar hu hatachlis. Friends, the main thing is to get to what? It's not just to get out of trouble. It's to get into something good. Da'ikar hu hatachlis. So now we understand. The Medrash is bothered. Vayihi miketz. Yosef is freed from jail. And we're not satisfied. It's a lashon of tsar. We're still in pain. Why? It's a big celebration. It is. But don't get carried away because that's not the ikar Yeshua. Shelo haya oz ikar ha-Yeshua. The chol's man, says the Medrash, the chol's man she'etzahara ba'olam, ofel v'tzalmaves ba'olam. We haven't yet removed the darkness of the world. V'ikr hayim b'tzeisim mitzrayim v'kabbalas ha-Torah, she'nasu cheres mi'etzahara. And then, orav asimcha ba'olam. And that's why the Medrash brings the end of the Pasuk. Ulachol tachlis hu choker. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu investigates the tachlis, and Hashem wants us to do the same. How do you know when you're really out of the dark? When you come to the Ner Mitzvah Torah Or. Shai Iker hu atachlis. That's the Iker. So Chavra, on Chanukah, that's sort of a choice we have to make. We celebrate both. Of course we celebrate both. Right? But the Bayamim Ahim Bazman HaZeh is to continue to build on the miracles of the victory over the Greeks. It's not just to not be a Greek. It's to be a Yid. It's to become a Jew. Right? They say that one of the reasons that in the morning we say the bracha of Shalom Asani Goy. Why don't I say Shasani Yisrael? Why don't I say that Hashem made me a Jew? And the answer is Hashem didn't make me a Jew. Hashem made me not a Goy. Shalom Asani Goy. I have to make myself a Jew. That's something I have to work on over the course of a lifetime, to constantly increase the light of my life, to move towards my tachlis. Again, if you spend your whole life saying, well, you know, at least I didn't fall into that pit, you know, I didn't get involved in that negative behavior, you know, that Avera I never did, I drew the line at that Avera, it's good, it's good, it has a place. But the Sor Meira is not the goal, the Ase Tov is the goal, to go on the offensive, to be able to say, now that I defeated Yavan, so now I have the opportunity to be Marchiv the Kedusha, to be Mosif Aholich, to be able to move forward. Okay, so Mirtz Hashem, we should be Zocha to remember what the Tachlis is. The Iker Hu Atachlis, I like that line, I like that phrase. Sha Iker Hu Atachlis, the essence of something is the goal. And sometimes we confuse the momentary Yeshua with the overarching goal that we're striving for. Okay?